Welcome back to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. I'm your host, Stacy, and I am so excited to have you joining the podcast today. Grab you a cup of your favorite beverage and settle in. Unless you're my listeners that are in the car. If that's you, hands it 10 and 2 it is. Last week, we walked through Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We looked at the not-so-silent night where Mary and Joseph were traveling. She was very pregnant. They both were very tired. And if we're being honest, we're probably wondering why God's perfect timing didn't feel all that perfect. We talked about how the circumstances of obedience don't always look Instagram ready, but God is still writing something beautiful right in the middle of it. Well, today, we're staying in that same chapter, but we're shifting the camera angle. We're leaving the stable and heading out into the fields, where some shepherds are just minding their business, probably trying to stay awake, absolutely not expecting to become part of the Christmas story. And just like Mary and Joseph, they're about to learn that when God shows up, He rarely sends a memo first. And here's the thing, their first reaction, pure trembling fear. And I love this because truly, same. If God sends an angel to talk to me, my first response isn't always going to be, "Yes, Lord, your humble servant is ready." It's probably going to be more like, "Jesus, take me home. I wasn't prepared for this today." I am a work in progress, y'all. And as much as my soul longs to be the humble servant who is always ready, my mind just trips me up sometimes around the things God can call me to. But this moment with the shepherds teaches us something so important, especially for those of us who feel like God has been nudging our heart about something, calling us into something, or asking us to trust Him with a big step. And we're over here clutching our chests like, "Lord, I love you, but also I'm scared." Today's passage, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21, shows us that fear doesn't disqualify you. It doesn't mean God picked the wrong person. It doesn't mean the calling is too big. It simply means you're human and He is holy. And He is about to do something with you and through you that you couldn't do on your own. So grab your Bible, grab your coffee, and let's step into the field with the shepherds and see what their fear and God's response teaches us about obedience on the other side of, "I'm not sure I can do this." To help us along, today I've split the podcast into teaching segments. This first one I like to call "Fear Doesn't Mean You're Not Spiritual." We're going to look at three scripture verses to help us understand that statement. Starting in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, 'Fear not.'" Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah.'" Luke chapter 1, verse 29 through 30. "But she was greatly troubled, and the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary.'" Friends, this is the most spiritually elite trio I think we'll ever see. We have Mary, Zechariah, and the shepherds. And every last one of them responded with fear. Not calmness, not confident smiles, not, "Ah, yes, my angelic appointment has arrived." Nope. Fear. And here's the important part. God didn't rebuke their fear. He spoke to it. To the shepherds, the angel said, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news." To Zechariah, the angel said, "Fear not. Your prayer has been heard." And to our sweet Mary, the angel responded, "Fear not. You have found favor with God." Every "fear not" was followed by a promise a purpose, or a piece of God's heart. Friends, fear wasn't the problem. It was simply the starting place. Ask yourself this. Where has fear shown up in your heart recently? And could it be happening in the exact place God is speaking? God meets fear with clarity. To understand that, I want to look at two particular passages found in Matthew. The first is in chapter 1, verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife. And then in chapter 28, verse 5. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus. What I see in these passages is that when fear shows up, God doesn't just soothe the feeling. He clarifies his purpose. Think about it with Joseph. The response was, do not fear, take Mary as your wife. Translation, this is from me, move forward. To the women at the tomb, do not be afraid, I know why you're here. Translation, your fear is understandable, but you are in the right place. God doesn't just say, calm down. He says, here's what's really happening. Here's what to do next. Here's what your heart needs to know. And don't forget, I have a purpose in this. Fear can get loud in confusion. God gets loud in clarity. Ask yourself this. Where do I need God's clarity right now? Not just his comfort, but his direction. Fear happens even when you love Jesus. Matthew 17, verses 6 through 7. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. Matthew chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Friends, these are the disciples, the ones who walked with Jesus every day, and they still had full panic mode moments. And Jesus didn't roll his eyes. He didn't say, really? Again, guys? No, he stepped closer. He touched them. He reassured them. He identified himself. He replaced what fear said with what he said. This teaches us that fear doesn't push Jesus away. It invites his presence. So today, consider this. Where do I need to let Jesus draw close to my fear instead of hiding it? Fear often comes right before calling. We're going to look at two sets of scripture to help clarify this. Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. This is the moment Jesus is calling his first disciples. He tells them to go back out into the deep after they've been fishing all night with absolutely nothing to show for it. Basically a biblical version of, Lord, I've already tried that and I'm tired. But at Jesus's word, they let the nets down. And boom, so many fish that the boat starts sinking. And now look at verse 8. Peter sees this miracle. He drops to his knees and basically says, Lord, I'm not even worthy to be here. Friend, what does Jesus say? That's right. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Fear, reassurance, calling, right there in one conversation. And let's go back a little to Judges. Chapter 6, verses 22 through 23. Gideon has his own version of this moment. He suddenly realizes he has been talking to the angel of the Lord. I can just imagine this. And he goes into full panic mode. I'm going to die. I've seen the Lord face to face. And the Lord responds with the same heartbeat we see all throughout Scripture. Do not fear. Then he follows it with purpose. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I'm sure Gideon didn't feel mighty, and he definitely didn't feel like a warrior in that state of panic. But God called out destiny before Gideon ever even stepped into it. Here's the pattern we see over and over again. Fear, reassurance, calling. With Peter, fear is followed by from now on. With Gideon, fear is followed by the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Friends, fear isn't always a sign something is wrong. Sometimes more often than we even realize, it's a sign that something is shifting. Sometimes fear is straight up spiritual warfare trying to block your next step. Sometimes fear is insecurity whispering you're not enough. But sometimes fear is actually the announcement that God is moving you into purpose. If you're feeling stretched, if God's nudging you towards something that feels bigger than you, take a breath. You might be standing on the edge of a from now on moment. Ask yourself this, is the fear I'm feeling actually a sign that God is preparing me for a new season or purpose? Sometimes fear is reverence. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then in chapter 20, verses 18 through 20, the people were afraid and trembled. Moses said, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you." Not all fear is insecurity. Some fear is reverence, the holy wow of realizing God is God. Moses hid his face, but then obeyed. Israel trembled, but then listened. Reverence doesn't push you away. It postures you to receive. Holy fear is not the enemy. It's an invitation. Ask yourself, is my fear actually reverence? And do I need to trust that God can handle my trembling? Fear doesn't stop revelation. Daniel chapter 10, verses 7 through 12 basically says, "I trembled on my hands and knees, and he said, fear not, Daniel." Revelation 1:17. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not." Friends, Daniel fell to his hands and knees. John fell as though he was dead. And God didn't say, "Get up, you're being dramatic." No, he touched them, he strengthened them, he spoke to them. Your fear cannot block God's revelation. Sometimes his revelation causes the fear because his presence is overwhelming. But even then, he comes and he comes up close and personal. What part of God's character is he trying to reveal to you in this season, even if it feels overwhelming? Fear has been my uninvited yet faithful companion. If I'm being honest, every single time God has called me into something, I have felt all the things: unworthy, inadequate, overwhelmed, unprepared, and yes, absolutely terrified. Like, Lord, surely you meant to send this assignment to the person next door. But nope, every time he meant me, and every time I felt the fear. But here's the part that makes me emotional in the best way. Just like the moments we've seen in Scripture today, I have also experienced the fear not moments. Sometimes God sent real life angels, people who showed up right when I needed them with the wisdom, support, encouragement, or a good holy pep talk to get me through a season. to help me do the thing he was asking, or to simply walk out the calling he placed on my life. And other times, it was just me and the Holy Spirit walking into rooms I didn't feel qualified for, saying yes to assignments bigger than my confidence, trusting sometimes one shaky step at a time that if God was calling me, he would lead me, equip me, and provide exactly what I needed as I obeyed. Every one of those moments taught me this. Fear doesn't disqualify you. Sometimes it's just the indicator that God is up to something. And that's where our story in Luke picks up today. Now that we've looked at fear through the full lens of Scripture, and even through my testimony and even your own lives with our reflection, let's step into the shepherd story, because everything we just learned shows up beautifully in this moment. Their fear wasn't the end of the story. It was the doorway into the greatest revelation the world had ever received. Luke 2:8-21. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be your sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And then they saw it. They made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Friends, as we close today, I want to bring all this together, your story, my story, the shepherd's story, and every person listening who feels a little overwhelmed by what God is asking of them. Because the truth is, the shepherds felt fear first. Most of us do. Fear isn't a sign that you're failing. It's often the sign that God is speaking. Let's walk through what their story teaches us one more time. Fear is often the doorway to revelation. They were filled with great fear, and right on the other side of that fear was the greatest announcement ever given. A Savior is born to you. Some of the most intimidating moments in your life may be the very places where God is preparing to reveal himself in a new way. Second, obedience turns into encounter. The shepherds didn't sit in the field overthinking the details. They didn't host a committee meeting. They simply said, "Let us go." And because they obeyed, they encountered Jesus himself. Your obedience, even the shaky kind, positions you to see God in ways you never could have seen him otherwise. Third, encounter turns into testimony. Scripture says they made known the saying. They shared what they saw, they shared what they heard, and everyone who listened stood in wonder. Friend, your encounter with God isn't meant to be bottled up. Someone needs to hear what God is doing in you. And four, testimony turns into worship. Their night started with terror, it ended with praise. they returned, glorifying and praising God. This is always the way of God. What begins in fear often ends in worship. Your fear is not the end, it's the beginning. So let me speak this over you today. If God is calling you into something, if He is nudging your heart, whispering direction, asking for a step of obedience, if it's feeling overwhelming, intimidating, too big, or too unknown, friend, that doesn't mean you heard wrong. That doesn't mean you were disqualified. That doesn't mean God picked the wrong person. It might mean you are standing exactly where the shepherd stood, on the edge of revelation, on the edge of encounter, on the edge of testimony, and on the edge of worship. And just like the shepherds, your story doesn't end with fear. It begins with it, because fear is often the doorway God uses to walk you straight into purpose. If God waited for you to feel brave before calling you, He'd still be waiting. Fear doesn't disqualify you. It doesn't discourage God. It doesn't derail your destiny. God is not asking you to be fearless. He is asking you to be willing. And every time someone in Scripture felt terrified, God's answer was the same. I am with you. Fear not. Ask God where fear is speaking louder than His voice. Ask Him to clarify what feels confusing. Ask Him to steady you with His presence. Ask Him to make your next step clear, even if it's a trembling yes. I want to thank you for joining me on Scripture Adventures today. And if this has encouraged you, share it with a friend who might be navigating a season of fear or stepping into something new God is calling them to. I'll see you next week as we continue digging for the treasures in God's Word. Until next time, keep seeking, keep trusting, and keep walking forward. Even if it's a little shaky at first, God's with you every step of the way.